John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there is one mightier than I who will come after me. He was actually preferred before me. And I'm not even worthy of loosening his straps on his shoes or tying his shoes. Said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that word is true today. And if there was ever a time that the church needs the fire, it's now. It's now in the midst of the coldness and the callousness, in the midst of turmoil and trouble, in a time where Jesus said, the love of many will wax cold. We need that fire. Keep our hearts burning for Jesus. We need that fire to keep our hearts burning for what is right, what is true, what is good, what is noble, what is of God. We need the love of God to flow unrestricted, unrestrained, freely, loosely, in every direction. To release and allow every person, give them the opportunity to receive the love of God. That love culminates, proves itself, identifies itself with God's only begotten Son being nailed to a cross, not for his sin and not for his mistakes and not for his rebellion or disobedience. He didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time. It was total and complete submission to the will of the Father to express the magnitude of his love. There's not a Richter scale that can measure the effect of God's love. We can measure earthquakes. There's not an earthquake that can measure to the magnitude and power of God's love. It's in there. It's a quaking love. Hallelujah. It shakes things up. Hallelujah. You start feeling its tremors for life. Hallelujah.
Come on.
You start to try and get out of it. All of a sudden, what's wrong? The love of God flowing towards you, trying to flow through you to reach others. It's a love that never fails. We read it at weddings, and that's good too, rightly so, but you know, that word was written for the body of Christ. It's written about the love of God to describe it. It knows no boundaries, no barriers. It never fails. It's the greatest gift. Prophecies will fail, tongues will cease. Knowledge will vanish away, but love will remain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Love never fails. You'll never exhaust it. You'll never bottom it out. You'll never run it bankrupt. You can't empty God's tank of love. I don't care how much you exhausted of it. His love never fails. His love is complete. His love is perfect. His love is kind. His love is good. His love is right. Hallelujah. Receive of Abba Father's love right now. Just receive Abba Father's love right now. Just receive Abba Father's love right now. Just let his love come upon you right now. Let him shower you, drench you, saturate you right now. Just receive of his love. Don't look for a feeling. And if you have a feeling, praise God. But it's more than just a feeling. Hallelujah. Glory. You might not feel loved, but Abba Father's power, yes. His love is showering you right now. If you don't think he's paying attention to this service right now, you are wrong. His eyes are on this place. His presence is in our midst, and he's paying attention to what's going on. And he's saying, receive of my love, how much I love you. Jeremiah described it like this. It's an everlasting love. Hallelujah. John said, God is love. So just receive. Just receive. No matter what your cares and concerns are, just throw them at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, I ain't gonna worry. I'm not gonna stress. I'm not going to be burdened down by the burdens, the cares, and concerns of this world. I'm just going to cast everything at your feet right now, and I'm going to receive. I'm not going to be concerned about what the doctors say. I'm not going to be concerned about what people say. I'm not going to be concerned about what's going on in my body. I'm not going to be concerned about what's going on in my family. All I'm going to be concerned about right now is receiving your love. You're too good for me to pass this up. You're too good for me to ignore it. You're too good for me to just walk away from it. I'm just going to receive. Love me the way you want to love me, Lord God. Love me the way you want to, Father. Let your love become. Say this with me. Father, let your love become in me what it is in you. I receive the fullness of your love. Let love be perfected in my heart, in my mind, in my life. I receive your love in all its fullness. Let it be in me as it is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five. Celebrate God's goodness. Spread his love. When you high five him, release love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Consuming with your fire. And God's love is aggressive, passionate, overtakes anything in its pathway. Hallelujah. Run you down and tackle you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know how you come in the house and not saying anybody's a dog and definitely not saying that our God is a dog. But you know how it is when you go in the house, if you have a pet and the dog just comes, cats are different. cats will wait for you to come to them. The dog will just run up to you and just, you know, miss you so much and want to kiss you and lick you and stuff. And I'm not into that, but, you know, they want to express their love. They're so happy to see you. Hallelujah. Aggressive, passionate. Can't wait to share it. I mean, you just pulling up and they hear the noise. They hear the car. And if they know their way through the house, if they're in the house, they'll be in the window looking. Or they'll be at the gate scratching. Master's home, master's home. You'd just be so happy. That kind of love. Hallelujah. The world and many within the body of Christ, just like the religious world couldn't handle Jesus at that time, for many, we can't handle Jesus in our time because Jesus is full of truth. And sometimes that truth will go across cultural barriers. And when I say sometimes, what I mean, it may be something that's opposed to what we may have learned as a culture, as a family, as a society, if you will. And truth is what prevails and truth is what stands. And so Jesus, in this relationship here, now mind you, Jesus had brothers and sisters. They were his half-brothers and sisters. Here's a trivia. Who was the oldest in Jesus' family? This group over here needs some more humor. We'll help them out. I don't get it. Jesus had, and we don't know whether Joseph was dead by this time or not. Joseph was much older than Mary in that time and day. It was a custom to have prearranged marriages. And, you know, an older man might marry a younger woman and take her to be his bride, and, you know, she'd have children. Well, Mary was young. She was probably about 14 to 16 years of age. A virgin who had knew no man, and chosen by God, handpicked. That's why she was blessed, because of all the women, God had to choose one. And of all the women, he chose this young virgin. And Joseph might have been dead by this time. And so Jesus is at this point, and he doesn't say, you know, to his brothers or sisters, natural ones, take care of mama. He could have said something like that. You know, y'all make sure y'all take care of mama. I'm not going to be here anymore. But he chose one that was loyal to him, dear to him, near to him, one that he knew that he could, you know, trust to take care of her. And so to me, that says something about the family of God. Thank you for that one glory. Hallelujah. Somebody's understanding me and relating to what I'm saying. When I say this, I am not anti-family. I am very pro-family. Family is important. And it's a blessing when a man or woman of God is overseeing a work of God, and family, natural family, is there helping out to carry out the mandate. And that's a blessing. It's a testimony in and of itself. But when you serve in the kingdom of God, even if your natural family won't follow you, you still go and build the kingdom of God. And that upsets some people. You know, just this week, dealing with individuals that have to deal with that, and that comes up regularly when you have to make that choice, that decision. You know, they had a song in the days of old called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I don't know, for some reason, I don't know whether I caught my man of God's spirit, but he hasn't been doing it lately, so I don't know what it is, but it's just some songs that just been coming up that, you know, when I heard them at that given time, I pretty much was clueless to what was really going on, but they have so much significance. Like you see in the bulletin post at the end of the first paragraph, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. And some of you might know that, leaning on the everlasting arms. And some of these songs that just come up in my spirit, they just carry so much weight, power, and authority. But I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. No turning back, no turning back. And so the thing of it is that it if we are so earthly-minded and earthly-connected naturally, and if you don't stay in the spirit with me, you'll get lost, and you'll think that I'm, you know, trying to teach some false doctrine or something, but I'm not. You know, if we're so earthly-minded and so natural and so connected, we will compromise the truth of God's word for the sake of those that we love more, even though we say we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we can't do that in the kingdom, in the kingdom of God. It's not that we don't love, but remember what Jesus says, unless you love me more than you love, I'll just say mother, father, brother, sister, .. You can't follow me. You're not worthy of me. You can't, you know. And he was just real. Why? Because this life is real. I'm not talking about this earthly life. That's real too, but it's limited. And if we get that mask, if we don't get that mask pulled off of our eyes, the spirit, you know, the eyes of our understanding, if we don't get that mask ripped off, we will be deceived in thinking that this is it, and we'll miss out on eternity. Christ died for the entire world that the world through him might be saved. And what that means is that if Jesus had not died, everybody would die and go to hell. If he had not died on the cross, everybody, all body, every person, past, present, and future, would die and spend eternity in hell separated from God. It don't seem right. Well, you underestimate what sin has done to us. You don't know the weight, the barrier. You don't know the burden. You don't know the fullness of the however, I could throw a whole lot of more in there, of sin and what it does in separating us from God. Sin is no light matter with God. When God said in the beginning to Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof of that tree, you're going to die. God spoke through Ezekiel the prophet and says, the soul that sinneth shall die. And to die is to be separated from God. And to be separated from God means you're going to perish, and God doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants all of us to have everlasting life. This message will never get too old, and it'll never be preached too much. Amen. So, God did this. He took on the form of a servant, the form of man. He made a body for himself. How could he do that? Well, if he can cause a virgin to give birth, if he could create a man out of dust, and then from that man made out of dust, extract from him a rib and fashion a woman. I mean, think about it. Before we even came into existence, he slung the stars into the sky, the planets, the universe. He created all of these things. He created all of the angels at one time. God's, there's no shortage of angels. So when we die, we don't become angels. It's not like the angelic population has gotten too low, so God's got to grow some more.
Why? You can. I give you permission, right? I give you rights to use that.
No, he created them all at once, and he created the universe, and then he started creating in the earth. He started creating life, man. He created the birds, the beasts, the crawling things, the fish. He caused herbs and things to grow, and he created man. He says, now I'm going to make something after my own image in bodily form. I'm going to make someone like us. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness. He didn't say that about anything else that he created, not even the angels themselves. But he said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness, and let's give them dominion. Let's have them rule on earth like we rule in heaven.
Ah! Yeah.
And even with that, Cain, but he's going to sin and he's going to fall. And that fall is going to lead to eternal separation from us because we're good. Everything we created is good. When the rich young ruler, whoever it was, that came up to him and said, good master. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's only one that's good. That's God. Hallelujah. That's Bible talk. Praise God. Why callest thou me good? There's only one good, and that's God. So God is good, and everything that came from him was good. But contamination set in. It started in the angelic ranks when one leader rose up and said, I'm going to be like the Most High. Because God gives us all a free will of choice. Hallelujah. Choose to worship him or choose to rebel against him. The choice is yours. You can honor him or you can resist and rebel against him. But God gives you that choice. He makes no dummies, if you will. He makes no robots, if you will. He gives us the power, the ability, the right to choose. God says it like this. I'll just paraphrase it here. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Right now, I'm being taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am receiving the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching right there. So God says, I set before you here good evil. You caught that. You caught that. blessing, cursing. Choose good. That's how good God is. But he will not make the choice for us. But he says, look, I'll set it before you. Blessing, curse, good, evil. Choose good. I can't make the choice for you, but I can help you on making the right choice. It's like getting ready to take the test, and then the teacher's telling you the answer. Write the answer. No, the answer is, I made the test. The answer is write the answer.
And they tell you what the answer is, and we still go and put the wrong thing. So he will not make that choice for us, and neither will he act it out for us. But he'll put it before us and say, believe. Believe and act on it. So, God, he's so good. He's gooder than good. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, y'all. A little late, but hey. Praise God. No, I love them. I love watching them grow and watching them share. Such a blessing. Praise God. Amen. So God, he won't walk it out. He won't make the choice for us. He'll leave us to make the choice. And he's like, come on, make the right choice. Make the right choice. Make the right choice. Make the right choice. Daily, he's telling us, make the right choice. Make the right decision. Daily. And so I'm kind of like jumping real quick for sake of time. We're going to get back, I think, to the bulletin. But we've been in Deuteronomy chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we're looking at the commandments, but we're looking at them in a different light. We're not looking at the commandments as if we got to do this in order to be righteous. We're looking at the commandments as if this is how to live now that we are righteous. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because God just doesn't, I mean, you get saved today. God does not by osmosis just transmit everything that you need to know within you. He gives you his spirit. He promises never to leave you nor to forsake you. But he does not transmit the wisdom and knowledge by osmosis, like you just automatically receive everything and you don't need no more teaching or no more nothing. No, God treats us like babies. He gives us the, you got born again. This is what happened to you. Well, I received Jesus. Yeah, you got born again. Well, I'm 50 years old. You can't tell me nothing. No, you just a baby. You just 2 days old in the Lord. And just like a little two-day-old baby that can't feed themselves, don't know nothing but to mess, you know, and give me a bottle to feed me. That's all we know when we get born again. Somebody clean me because, you know, I'm going to start crying after I mess. You know, I get irritated by the mess. A baby got more sense than some believers. We live in the mess and we ain't even tired of it. Come on. A baby. Wah, wah. You know, we learned that, you know, babies cry for certain reasons. Either they are wet, they have pooped, or they're hungry. So one of those. So when the baby's crying, it's like, you know, I don't know, we got this colic and all this other stuff from that adds into the picture. But it's like, if the baby's over there crying and the parent is ignoring it, it's like, everybody, what's wrong with the baby? What's wrong with the baby? Is the baby hungry? Did you check their diaper? Are they wet? Or maybe they pooped. Or maybe they're having a problem passing. But some of these things, just some natural things that you jump right in order to take care of it. And so God says, you're like a baby. You might have had 50 years on this earth. I don't know why I'm at the number 50. Some of y'all haven't even got there yet. You're still wet behind the ears. And some of us are celebrating, you know, like 5 years of being 50. 6 years, 7 years, 9 years, 10 years. We're in the 60s and, you know, and it's just celebrating life itself. But, you know, wherever we are on that age of life, you know, and you're measured by how many days you've been on this earth outside of a womb. But you can be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, or however old. And if you get born again at that time, you're a baby. You don't come in no full-grown adult. God made that mistake once. Come on, think, people. Come on, come on, come on, think. Come on, come on, stay with me. Come on, come on. Who am I talking about? Thank you. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
You don't come into this thing fully mature. You come in as a baby, and like a newborn babe, desire the pure milk of the word so that you can grow thereby. Because you don't know how to operate in the kingdom. You may know how to operate in the world. You might know how to operate in the streets. Anybody raised up on the streets? I got some street knowledge. It's old knowledge, but I still got some street knowledge. You know, some of the street knowledge I got, if I shared some of that, those things, guys be looking at me like, what's that? Just like I look at their stuff, I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah. Brother Rocky said something to me the weekend before. And it was something maybe the week before that. And it was something like, yeah, Pastor, we want to show you some things, teach you some things about, you know, it was about I don't even know if you remember, but we were right there at that store. And they're trying to hip me to certain terminology. They're trying to hip me to some of this stuff, and I'm like, come on, is that what that means? But I can say some things. The point is that you may learn stuff on the streets. You may learn stuff being a good, productive citizen. But when you come through Jesus, you have to receive him as Savior and Lord. You get born again and birthed through the canal of the church, the body of Christ, because somebody had to preach the message to you. That was the church manifesting. Hallelujah. You believe and got conceived. Now, pop, baby born. You could be 10 years old. You could be 20 years old. You can be 100 years old. But if that's the day you got born again, you're just a baby in Christ. And you need the pure milk of the word where you can grow in the things of God now. You might have earthly knowledge, and some of that earthly knowledge could very well be rooted out of the word, rooted in the word of God. That may very well be, but you still come in as a baby. Don't nobody come in here knowing it all. And so we have to grow. And it's like, okay, well, how do we grow? Peter says it plainly, desire the pure milk of the word. What is that? Is that 1 Peter 2? Let's go there so some of you will say, we legally had church today because we went to a scripture. He didn't just tell me about the scriptures. He took me to them, made me sit down and read my Bible. Let's see, or is it 2nd? No, it's 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, this sermon is for babies. Drink up. Good. It's good to have a little milk every now and then. Somebody said milk, it does the body good. Woo! That got everybody awake. Praise God. You know what I used to do years ago in my former days? When I see somebody dozing off, I'd be like Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. I'd have the whole congregation stand up because of that one person dozing off. Wake up. Wake up. Or do something like that in order to give a jolt. You find 1 Peter chapter 2? Says it like this. So be done with every trace of wickedness, depravity, malignity, and all deceit and insincerity, pretense, hypocrisy, and grudges, envy, jealousy, and slander, and evil speaking of every kind. He's speaking to Christians, and he's telling them these are the things that are not supposed to be occupying your heart and your mind. We're not supposed to be. Okay, he's taking on the security role. Not supposed to be full of these types of things, malice and guile and hypocrisy, envy, jealousy, rage, things like that. That's not supposed to be in our body. It's not supposed to be in our heart. It's not supposed to be in our minds. And then he tells us how to get rid of it. Because see, if those things are still in us, then we have not come into who we are in Christ. Old things have not passed away. That's not a part of the new man. It's a part of the old man. Or the old woman, if you will, if we need to be socially correct, genderly, is genderly correct. So if these things are there and we recognize them, we get rid of them. These are like the seven nations that the children of Israel were to drive out of the land one by one, little by little, until every occupant had been driven out of the land that God had given them to possess. Okay? So with that being said, let me kind of fast forward. He says this, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation, since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. God is good and God is kind. And so all of that being said is laying a little foundation, somewhat of one, as to now we have a different approach to the Word of God. Because Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 talks about, you know, we don't repudiate the grace of God. We're not going to render the grace of God null and void or ineffective. We're not going to disgrace or disrespect the grace of God. Because it's by grace are we saved through faith. So we're not going to ignore the grace of God. No way. If we could get right with God by rule keeping, in other words, by obeying the law of God, if we could get right with God by that, then Jesus died in vain. So what we've come to the conclusion of is that we can't obey the law in order to get right with God, because we keep falling short of his glory. We keep missing it in one area or another. And the closer we draw to Jesus, the more spots and blemishes get revealed, because we're drawing closer to the light. So what was hidden before, because darkness was still around, now that we're approaching light, it gets exposed. Amen? People have, you know, they may have acne and stuff like that. I have them, if I'm going on my fifth year of being 50, and I'm like, my God, I got a pimple again. And I'm like this, I am aggressive with pimples. I immediately want to pop them and get them off my face and get rid of them. Leave it alone, I can't. Just knowing it's there. Just me. But the closer we draw to the light, the more it gets exposed and revealed in us, but it's for a reason. It's because God says that's an occupant, that's an inhabitant. Not necessarily a devil, but it's something that does not belong there, because this body is now the temple of the living God. It is holy, it is sacred, it is consecrated, dedicated to God, and it houses the very presence of God. So I move in my relationship closer to God, and things come up, and where'd that come from? I didn't know that was there. But now that it smells, you got to go. I don't back up, I step forward. You got to go. And the closer I get, it diminishes. And then something else pops up. It ain't no time to run away or get offended because something was exposed in our lives that we didn't know was there, but all of a sudden it resurrects and comes up and, ooh. Like stirring up a batter of cake and all of a sudden eggshell come up. You don't belong there. Now, if you're lazy, you just put the blender in there and grind that thing up to powder. But if you're diligent, you're going to pluck that thing out and throw it in the trash can, because you ain't putting that in your body. Oh, no cakes and stuff. He'll have you everywhere, but it'll make sense. So we just keep drawing closer and closer. Closer and closer, and we start to bear more of the image and likeness of Jesus. We behold our face as in a mirror, and we keep going and growing from glory to glory. And the closer we draw to Jesus, the more Jesus is revealed and shown to others. That's what God wants for his sons and daughters. He wants us to be carriers of his glory, his weighty presence, in order to minister to the lives of others. And he don't want us reflecting the world that he delivered us out from. That's offensive to God to come and serve him and live like a slave. Get the revelation of the prodigal son. He wanted to come and be a slave after having backslid against his father. The father said, you ain't no slave. Let me restore you back to honor and dignity as a son. Hallelujah. Restore you back to former position of who you are in Christ Jesus. This is what this walk is all about. God don't want us reflecting the world that he just delivered us out of. And if we have to go through that weaning process, go through it. What does that mean? Go through kicking and screaming if you want to, but just keep going in this direction because that direction is going towards Jesus. And then we come alongside, what's wrong with it? They pooped on themselves? They need milk? What's wrong with them? And let's get them fixed. Because sometimes it's like, well, since you want that, go on. You know? But don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't frustrate what God, the miraculous work of God that he's trying to do in your life. Don't frustrate that. Turn your back on God and try and drift back to some mess. We're not pigs no more. Amen. Amen. We got taken out of the pig's mire, the pigsty. I don't want to eat that filth. Amen. Not a dog. I don't care if they say that's man's best friend. We're not a dog. We're created in the image of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's the image that we bear. That's the image we look at daily. You know, y'all probably get mad at me, but it's okay. Stop looking at Facebook for your image and your identity. And look to heaven for the glory, and the honor, and the praise of your God. Look to please Jesus. It's better to receive the praise of God than the praises of men. I saw where I know he's a leader in the body of Christ. I can't even pronounce his name, but I've heard his name mentioned before in another arena, and I saw what he put out there. And he put out there because people think that they get injured, but pastors get injured too. Pastors get hurt too. We got feelings too. God's got feelings. That might be a revelation for some. God's got feelings. God gets hurt. And so he was responding to how people expect them to do this and to do that and to that. You know, and you know, mind you, if you're going to sit in front of a congregation, I'm like this. If I'm going to tell the saints don't be doing it, I'll say it even for the pastors, don't be doing it. You know, don't go before Facebook and start airing out the dirty laundry of the church, if you will. Like Facebook is the answer. Facebook is my medicine. It's my therapy. My therapist told me to go on Facebook. Tell it to Facebook. Facebook will hear you. Facebook will pray for you. Facebook will be there. Facebook will stand in the gap. Facebook got access to God. And he put out there, you know, the pastor's expected to do this, do that. He's expected to do this, do that. And, you know, then he's supposed to be here and be there, and he's supposed to be doing all this stuff. Well, I ain't that kind of a pastor, but I do love the. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. Here we go. Now pastors are firing back at the congregation. And so we're having a war on Facebook. Or just that messed up. That's what the world would do. That's what the world would do. We're no longer of the world. We've been changed, been redeemed. Hallelujah. We can't say nothing good. Let's not say it at all out there. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't say anything that's going to glorify Jesus. Let's just not put anything out there. Hallelujah. Let's use it as a platform to promote the gospel. I know you're probably tired of hearing that. It's probably, here we go again. No. And it may not be none of you. But still, you know people that put stuff out there. Because if they're connected to me, they're connected to some of you. That's how they got connected to me. Me being TFT, you know. And it's like, here we go. I put something out there about a week ago about this new stuff that's infiltrating the body of Christ, new way of doing things. And, you know, it's sad because it's just like at the beginning when the serpent deceived Eve and got her to eat of the forbidden fruit, and then she gave to Adam, and he ate. He just ate. The word doesn't even say he questioned. And I said, praise God. But it ain't going to happen this time. Because when the church try and bring that messed up stuff to Jesus, Jesus ain't going to eat it. You try and give it to him all you want to. Jesus is, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's a lie, and it's of the devil, and I ain't eating it. Which means he ain't accepting it. Amen? Eve was deceived. Adam willfully transgressed. Jesus, even at the right hand of the Father, ain't about to transgress the mandate of God. He ain't about to swallow the stuff that we bring up in the name of church. No. No, Jesus said, the way is made plain. And it's simple. It's not difficult. It's not like, you know, the writer says it like this. It's not like you got to go into heaven or send somebody to heaven to bring it down. It's not like you got to send somebody, I like the way the Messenger Bible says it. It's not like you got to send some sailors out in the midst of the sea so that they could bring it back to you. And then he says something else. It's not like you got to send them deep down here or up a mountain or something like that to bring it to you. He says, but it is nigh thee, even near your mouth, the word of faith which we preach, that word. So the instructions are right here. So now we got to have a different approach to the word of God now that we're saved. We can't listen to what people say. We don't honor God's word now to get saved. We honor it because we are saved. Amen. And so the teachings of God, the simplicity of the teachings themselves are good for us. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody quote just that portion to me. Blessed. Now, if I asked you how many of you want to be blessed, like earlier when Deacon Patton did, and hands probably went up, rightly so, me too. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Goes on, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God, and in it does he meditate day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success, Joshua. And that's the key, because this word still has the power to produce wealth in the lives of God's children. We don't even seek him for the wealth. We seek him for him, and the wealth follows. So he teaches us how not to be overcome with the stuff that he's delivered us from, but how to conquer it and use it for his glory. And this word teaches us, you know, if I say, who wants to be the head and not the tail? Me. Who wants to be above and not beneath? Me. Who wants to be blessed and not cursed? Me. And this teaches us how. This teaches us how. I didn't say, who wants to be saved and not go to hell? Because then I would say, repent and receive Jesus. And then after you've done that, take this word. Because even the ungodly use this word to navigate through life and prosper. But the thing of it is that in all their prosperity, they're still going to perish and go to hell. They use God's word for their own selfish gain, but they didn't get the revelation to know that Jesus is the same. It's
I want some royalties off of it. No. No, I said that just for that because it sounded good in my spirit, so I let it out. But they'll use it to prosper themselves, but they won't receive the author of that word for salvation. And without Jesus, we're going to perish. This is the message we carry. Amen? Stand to your feet. I've kept you long enough. And I pray that you got something out of this. If nothing more, relationship. Relationship, because it is so vitally important. Because Jesus will have you do some things or say some things or have you conduct yourself in a certain way that can break traditions of men, patterns of men, ways and cultures, if you will. I'm not saying earthly family is not important. Please don't walk out of here saying that. I'm not saying that earthly family, you know, that we shouldn't have a good relationship with them. We should. But the thing of it is that when we get birth into the family of God, it is superior. It is superior. I know it's hard for some people to swallow, but it's true. Think of it this way. You could see it. Like Brother Larry, your Brother Larry, okay? Your Brother Finn, okay? Why don't you stand right there and you stand right there? Are you guys related, other than you're in the body of Christ, I just want you to see yourself as average men. Are you guys related in any kind of way? No? No? Not that you know of, except for when you go back to Adam. Okay. Now, Brother Finn is unsaved. Pretending, okay? You've witnessed the gospel to him. And Brother Finn rejects the gospel. What's going to happen to Brother Finn if he dies in that state? He's going to go to hell. You believe that? Do you believe that? You believe. Okay, this is just pretending. Now, for you, no relationship, it may not be as hard for him to swallow because he did what his responsibility was, which was to share the gospel of Jesus with you, but you rejected it. So he goes on. Now, Sister Cindy, didn't you stand right there? Now, she's related to him. So now Sister Cindy's not saved. And Brother Larry preaches the gospel to her. Gives her an opportunity to get saved. She rejects the gospel. But he loves her. But she rejects the gospel. What's going to happen if she rejects the gospel and die in her sin? You believe that? And it's a little bit harder to deal with, huh, than him, because he's not related. That's how the family ties are. Cindy, she's ready to get out of the way. I'm getting out of the way. I don't want no part of this. Yeah, this ain't fun. This ain't fun. It's different when it's a family member, somebody close to you. It hurts even more. And see, he could say, well, maybe, you know, she'll get saved in a little while. And so he's not as adamant and preaching the gospel, and he goes and preaches to everybody else, and they get saved and stuff, but she's still in that same place, in that same state, and she never receives Jesus. She dies. He dies. Where is she going? Where is he going? Now, I think it's kind of like, you know, having some kind of an impact. Maybe you might think that it's just wasting my time. I already understand this. But we don't live like we understand this. We might say it in our minds, but we don't mean it in our hearts. We don't live like we understand this. So the thing of it is now because she's rejecting Christ, it just messes his life all up. You know, he can, and then you got these other Christians that'll be looking at her. Yeah, where your wife at? Why is she ain't at church? You know, what's up with that kind of stuff? You got to bear that kind of stuff. And then you're trying to just do the work of God, and they holding her against you.
and you're just trying, man, I don't need no title or position. I just want to see people get saved. Well, you need to go work on your own family. You know, you see what your family doing out there. And it's like, man, I just want people to get saved. My family's not ready to get saved. But I still got to go on and do the work of God. Because the work of God is important. Hallelujah. If I can't reach him, I pray God will send somebody to reach him. But in the meantime, I can't let others perish. I can't be silent and not say anything because they refuse the gospel. So now Brother Finn receives the Lord, and Sister Cindy is still rejecting all counsel. So now you and Brother Finn build a relationship because it's like, ah, praise God, brothers in Jesus. Now Brother Finn has received Jesus, and Sister Cindy still rejects Jesus, and all three of them die. Brother Finn and Brother Larry are in glory. Sister Cindy is perishing. Is this relationship with Sister Cindy going to deliver her out of hell? Will it bring her out of purgatory? We don't believe in purgatory, first of all. Can he do anything at that point? But he's going to spend all of eternity with this man because he's a brother. All eternity. And don't for once think that he's going to be grieved in all eternity of Sister Cindy's rejection. Because it ended at that point of death. And this relationship becomes much stronger and more vital. Because this one will be spent in all eternity. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get across to you by way of the Holy Ghost. Now our desire is for a family to get saved. Every one of them, because it's that serious. It's nothing to play with, like, I go to church. No, it's more than just going to church. It's being the church. It's living as a disciple of the Lord. It's living as a son and daughter of the Most High God. I know I'm preaching sermon number 6. Sorry. And no matter how good Sister Cindy is, she gives money to United Way. She volunteers at a women's shelter. She does all of these good deeds, but she rejects Christ. She's going to perish and go to hell. And because this man received Jesus, him and Brother Larry are going to spend eternity in glory. This is why Jesus did this at the cross. Now, Cindy's there, okay? Somewhere in the background. But Jesus says, Ephraim, your brother, Larry, your brother. And Cindy's alive in the background. But Jesus oversteps that natural relationship and establishes a kingdom relationship. Because he deals with eternity and the reality of what this is all about. Your years on this earth ain't about all that you can do to make you, and, life is all about me kind of stuff. No, your years on this earth is all about building a relationship with Jesus, leading as many people as you possibly can to Jesus. And in everything that you do in word and in deed, make sure you glorify Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's not about making a name for yourself. It's not about having your names in light. God can do that. But that's not what it's all about. Amen. And so God will overstep. Now, I could have did it in different, just to make a man and woman type thing, or mother, father, stuff like that. But that was a good enough analogy, that Jesus would join these two because they have one thing in common, him, and would exclude. But you can see how he excluded his brothers and sisters. He excluded them. He's like, no, you take care of her. This is your son now. You. Amen? Relationship. Kingdom relationship. Read your post. I hope you get something from it. But it's about the relationships that we establish through Jesus Christ. That's what's most important now. If your friends and your family members won't receive Jesus, pray for them, but don't be moved by them. Amen? And go and build kingdom relationships with brothers and sisters of like precious faith and help build our Father's kingdom, because that's what it's really all about. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your time. Father, bless each and every one of your sons and daughters. Keep them. Make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them and lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Let your name be over them in their household, that you might bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against them, but they'll overcome every attack of the enemy. And God's saying, you are more than an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil push you around, and don't let life push you around. You take a stand, and as the word says, having done all to stand, you stand. In Jesus' name, stand on truth, stand on righteousness, stand in the good news of the gospel of peace, stand in your salvation, stand with the word, stand in faith, stand in full assurance that God is with you. He'll never leave you. Now, if there's anybody in here who's not saved, we'll give you the opportunity to get saved. And if you are saved, we'll give those watching by television the opportunity to get saved. Just give me just a few moments here. First of all, is there anybody in here who needs to rededicate their lives to Jesus, or you need to get saved altogether? If you are, raise your hand. Okay. All right. You by television, I'll give you the opportunity. Just pray this prayer. Be sincere in your heart, and God will not only hear what you have to say, but he'll confirm it, he will accept it, and he'll grant you salvation. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that you are raised from the dead, ever to live forevermore at the right hand of the Father. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Make me a new creation. Take away my old life, my old nature, my old ways. Give me your life, your ways, and your nature. I receive your spirit right now. As you are embracing me, I am embracing you. Father, I thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you prayed that prayer and you're sincere in your heart, you are saved. And Jesus is meeting you right there where you are. There's rejoicing in the presence of angels because you have turned your life over. We rejoice with you. We welcome you to come fellowship with us any given time that we're here. Sundays at 10, Wednesdays at 7. See you soon. Grace to you.